against it in the name of Jesus. We come against every infection. We come against every virus. We bind it in Jesus' name. And Lord, by the authority of your word, we loose your healing power to move, to heal those that are sick. We pray for it right now in the name of Jesus Christ, that name above every name. Lord, those that are hurting today, those that are dealing with problems and situations in their lives, firstly, Lord, I pray that you would touch them. You would move on their behalf. And God, I pray that as the word of God comes forth today, that it would minister to them in a powerful way, encourage and strengthen and bless. We pray in Jesus' name that you would use us as your body. In these last days, help us to see mighty revival. We claim family revival. We claim it today, Lord. We come against spiritual blindness. We ask you to open the eyes of this world, Lord. We pray, God, that there are those that are hungry and thirsty for righteousness, and we know they shall be filled. And we pray it all in the name of Jesus today. We give you the glory, and we give you the praise. And the church said, amen and amen. Thank you for joining us today. Let's get into the Word of God. We're going to ask you to go to the book of 1 Samuel, and we will begin our reading in verse 22. We're going to move around just a little bit within this chapter, and then I want to give you just a few points this morning. The Lord gave me a message years ago, many years ago, called Profile of a Giant Killer. And as you can probably guess, that's about David. And so we want to look today. I'm not going to give you all of the points. Back in those days, it was nothing for me to come to the pulpit with 9 points. In fact, that's what I have, 9 points. And we're going to pare that down. I've learned a few things since then. Not everybody likes two-hour sermons. Actually, I don't think I've ever met anybody that likes a two-hour sermon, but I used to think there were a few. So we'll pare it down today to just a few points out of that profile of a giant killer. But we need to be aware of this because all of us are going to, if you have not already, and I'm sure most of you have, and you will again, face situations in your life, circumstances in your life that will situate themselves between you and your victory, between you and your destiny, between you and your healing. They'll situate themselves between you and your deliverance, your joy, your peace. All the things that God has promised us in His Word, there are things that will just present themselves and stand boldly between you and what the Lord, and what you know the Lord has in store for you. And if we don't learn, if we don't understand how to bring those things down in the name of Jesus, they will forever not just hinder you, they will forever stop you in your tracks. There are certain things that if we don't kill this, we'll never have that. And I want to begin in verse 22. Now, most of you, I'm sure, that are listening or watching, most of you are familiar with the story of David. I'm not going to belabor that, but we're going to jump right in here to verse 22, where David he's now arrived on the scene of the ongoing, not really a battle. It should be a battle, but there's no battle being fought yet. But there is this tension between the Philistines and the children of Israel, and David arrives here not as a warrior, not as a fighter, but as a little brother sent by his father to check on the welfare of his brethren and also to bring them food. So he really is kind of a modern day DoorDash delivery boy. He's running down to bring his brothers food. So here we go, verse 22. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage, and ran into the army, and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him, and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, Have you seen this man that come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up, and it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel. I want you to think about the promise of the king was that if anyone steps up and slays this giant, the promise was, the reward was, he's going to give him riches, he's going to give him his daughter's hand in marriage, and his father's house would be free in Israel. That literally means that his father's house, for generations to come, this is going to affect his father, his brethren, his children will be free. That means they will pay no more taxes. Any debts they had would be wiped out. This is a life-changing event. Whoever slays this giant is going to change the trajectory of their lives for generations. And so there are things that will come into our lives. There are moments, there are opportunities, there are situations that if we kill this, it will change the entire trajectory of our lives. And so if some of you are facing things even right now in your life, I feel this in the Holy Ghost, that's coming against you, coming against your family, coming against your marriage, coming against your life, that if the Lord is saying to you, if you don't kill this, you're never going to have the victory. But if you kill this giant, it will change your life forever. It will change the entire direction of your life. Think about it. No more debt, no more taxes, no more worries, no more cares. This one giant stands in the way of that all being true in the life of whoever slays the giant. Verse 26, and David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, well, what shall be done to the man that kills the Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner and said, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. Now, watch this in verse number 28. And Eliab, this is David's eldest brother. He's the one who, he's standing there eating the sandwich that David just brought to him. Eating David's lunch. And he turns to David and spake unto the men. When David spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger, it was kindled against David. And he said to David, why camest thou down hither? What are you doing here, boy? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? He says, I know thy pride. I know the naughtiness of thine heart. For thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. You're just here because you're curious. You're just here to get underfoot, get in the way, cause some mischief and trouble. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? We're going to skip some verses here. David begins to, David's words come to Saul, the king. King Saul interviews him, decides to allow him to fight, tries to give him his own armor. David says, I can't take this armor. I haven't proven it. So he takes only his slingshot. He goes down to the brook, gathers five smooth stones, the Bible says, puts them in his pouch, and heads on out to the battlefield to face this mighty giant named Goliath. David said, I want to go to verse number 45. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee. I will take thine head from thee. I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag. He took thence a stone, slang it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. The profile of a giant killer. Number one, so we're looking here at attributes or traits of a giant killer. Number one, if we were to go back into chapter 16, we won't, but you'll read in chapter 16, verses 11 through 13, where David, as a lad, is anointed as the next king of Israel. Samuel shows up with that horn of oil to anoint David as the next king of Israel, and in the presence of his brethren, pours the oil on his head and anoints him, prays over him, and he is now anointed. The number one attribute of a giant killer is anointing. In our generation, spiritual anointing. I feel like the Lord would have us to have a fresh understanding that what happened to us when we received the wonderful, precious gift of the Holy Ghost, that's an anointing that comes into our lives. Anointing gives us authority. Anointing gives us power. From that very moment, David may not have understood exactly what took place when that oil was poured over him. He might have had a kind of a, you know, what in the world moment. And then he goes right back out into the shepherd field to tend sheep. But it began to sink in. As that oil sank into his skin, the concept began to sink into his spirit. And he realized, I am the king. I am the next king of Israel. God has chosen me. You need to understand that when God birthed you, he gave you a new birth. I'm talking to born again Christians today, that when you became born again, when you received the gift of the Holy Ghost, you may not have understood it all at that moment, but it begins to sink into our spirits. Hey, I am a child of God. I am chosen by the Lord. I'm a royal priesthood. I'm a chosen generation. I've been called out and brought out, and God's power is on my life. And when you realize the anointing that is on you, it'll change the way you think. It'll change the way you walk. It'll change the way you talk, because the anointing of God supersedes my abilities, my talents. The anointing of God gives me spiritual authority. And David understood that day when he arrived on the scene. I'm not just a delivery boy. I'm not just a shepherd boy. I may be fulfilling those roles right now in my life and to satisfy other people's expectations of me, but I know what is on my life, and I am a king. And he arrived on the scene, and his ears begin to take in the threats of that giant, not as a shepherd boy, and not as a delivery boy, and not as as Jesse's youngest son or his brother's youngest sibling, but as an anointed king, he began to process these things. We must walk in the anointing. Church, we've got to operate in the anointing. We've got to process this world under the anointing. See it through spiritual eyes. Hear it in spiritual ears. Process it with our spiritual hearts, and let God bless your life and use you for his kingdom. The number one attribute of a profile of a giant killer is the spiritual anointing. We must be anointed. Pray every day. Read God's word every day. Pray in the Holy Ghost every day. Have an anointing on your life. Number two is humility. You'll notice in 17:15, but David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. This is immediately following the anointing and the man of God pronouncing over his life, you're a king. But David returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. So he's ministering to the king. He's playing his instruments before the king. But he goes back to feeding his father's sheep. So his humility, his willingness to serve where called as needed. Don't search for a pulpit when God is calling you to a field full of sheep. Don't search for some high profile leadership role when, let me just say it this way, when there's grass that needs mowed and weeds that need pulled and classrooms that need cleaned and boards that need to be fixed and baptistries that need to be cleaned out and all of these things that are behind the scenes type things. There are things in the kingdom of God that need to be done. Those sheep still needed to be tended, and it was David's role at that moment not to occupy the throne but to go right back out into that smelly shepherd's field and watch over those same few, as his brother said, sheep. It was a menial task for a king, but he was not on the throne yet. And so humility, I know that I will do whatever my God calls me to do. Wherever God puts me, there I will serve. And if that is your heartbeat, if that is your attitude, God can bring you anywhere. If he can trust you in the small things, then he'll trust you with the big things. And it all starts with a willingness to serve. Wherever I'm called, wherever I am needed. The third thing I want to show you is when David runs into the army. He gets there to bring the sandwiches, and immediately he shifts from delivery boy to the king in his mind. He hears the threat of this giant, and it resonates with him. It bothers him to the point where he just cannot be still. And he leaves the horse with the horseman and he runs into the battle. Now notice he does not search out the battle. Giant killers don't go around looking for giants to kill. That was not David's MO. David was looking for places to serve. But giants just present themselves. You don't have to look for the giant. The giant will look for you. The giant Goliath of Gath, David wasn't going to Gath. I wasn't going to Gath. Gath came to me. And so it is in our lives. You don't have to look for the giant. You don't have to go to Gath. How many times have you just been doing your own thing and all of a sudden, here's the giant in your face, challenging you. I was just minding my own business, just living my life, trying to be. I don't know how many times I've heard people say, Pastor, I don't understand this. I just try to be a good Christian. I pay my tithes. I go to church. I try to be good to everybody. And why me? Why has this happened to me? I don't know why this happened to you. I don't know why Goliath showed his ugly face to David that day, other than God had a purpose. We don't always understand the purpose. We don't always understand what this is going to bring to pass. But just know this, if God brings a giant into your life, he's also got a slingshot in your back pocket. Anything you need to bring that giant down, God has already placed it in your life. You've already proven it. God's already shown up. David didn't look for a lion to come down and take the sheep. It just came. And David jumped into action. And God showed his power as David killed the lion. David wasn't out bear hunting when he killed the bear. The bear came down, tried to take the sheep. And David said, not on my watch. Not today, bear. He pulled out his slingshot and brought down the bear. He wasn't looking for Goliath today. But Goliath just presented himself. And he said, just like God delivered the lion and delivered the bear into my hand, he will deliver this giant and he too will fall in my sling. And God has already given you what you need to bring down this giant. Whatever you're facing today, whatever's come at you today, I don't know why Gath came looking for you. I don't know why Goliath came chasing you today, but I do know God has given you whatever you need to bring that giant down. You've got to trust in the Lord. I feel the Holy Ghost moving in somebody's life right now. You've got to trust in the Lord. Amen. The fourth thing I want to show you is David's brother's attitude. It was Eliab, his own brother, as I already said, who's sitting there eating the sandwich that David has brought to him, who would be his critic. You ever been there? I mean, I can understand the giant. I can understand him threatening me. I can understand him criticizing me. I understand when my enemy tries to demoralize me, but when it comes from my brother, I don't understand my brother trying to bring me down. That can confuse me. Nobody can cut you like your brother can cut you. And so as Eliab begins to demoralize him and criticize him, ridicule him, Mm-hmm. Get this. Giant killers are often misunderstood. They are often misunderstood. If you're going to walk in the Spirit, if you're going to walk in the authority of the power of the Holy Ghost, if you're going to call that which is not as though it were, people will not always understand you. You're going to talk about victory when it seems like all is lost. You're going to talk about growth when it seems like everything's pointing towards shrinkage. You're going to talk about victory and growth and healing and joy and prosperity when all the rest of the world is selling. You're going to be buying. Why? Because giant killers are often misunderstood. When everyone else was running for cover, David was stepping up to the challenge. So here's what you need to understand. Don't you allow someone else's description of you, someone else's pronouncement upon you, don't you allow that to define you. Eliab, you tell me whatever you want to tell me, say whatever you want to say, criticize however you want to criticize, but I'm not going to let that hinder me. I will not let my brother's criticism hinder me. I love David's retort when he says, What have I done? What have I now done? It's kind of like, what have I done now, Eliab? You're always griping at me. You're always on my back. You're always criticizing me. What have I done now? And then he turns around and says, look, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? So the fifth thing I want to show you is that a giant killer understands the cause. In fact, the cause will overshadow the threat. The most important thing you will do in your walk with God is to get a good, solid grip on the cause. I'm trying to think, who was it that said, you need to hold fast your profession of faith? I think it was Paul. And then I believe it was James who said, we need to earnestly contend for that faith that was once delivered. So I'm talking about when you get a hold of the cause, you'll fight when others are running, you'll stand up when others are cowering, and the cause is what it will eclipse. It will eclipse, it will overshadow the threat that comes into your life, it will overshadow the giants. The cause is bigger than Goliath. The cause is bigger than the threat. Think about this. How did the apostles, all but one of them, face, and even that one, John, faced a terrible, terrible pain and suffering, but the other 11 faced it to death. How did they go that far? How did they stand that firmly and never give up? It wasn't just that they had been with Jesus. Others had been with Jesus, and they left. It wasn't the miracles. Others that received miracles, they left. These men had received and gotten a firm grip on the cause. Paul, throw him in there with them, because he had a hold of the cause all the way to his beheaded death. That's what it's going to take for us today. Listen, I'm telling you, we're facing opposition now, but we're going to face persecution, I'm afraid, like we've never seen, Christians. So you better have a hold of the cause. Get a hold of the cause. It will be bigger than any threat. The cause will be bigger than any giant. The cause will cause you to stand for Jesus, even when the rest of everyone else is running for cover. You'll stand for Jesus. So get a hold of the cause. Goliaths. We all have them. We all have them. We all have the opposition. We all have the challenges that if we don't kill this thing right here, it's going to control us the rest of our lives. So I believe the Lord brought me here today to remind us as a church, giants don't dictate who we are. Giants don't get to shake their fist in our face and call the shots. Don't you allow Goliath to call the shots. Don't you allow Goliath to put you in a box. Don't you allow Goliath to cause you to run off scurrying away from the battle. Christian, stand up. I'm telling you, as a preacher, as a pastor, more than ever before, it is incumbent. It is absolutely imperative that the church stand up right now. I don't mean we don't have to be flippant. We don't have to be rude. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying to get cocky and arrogant. I'm simply saying we've got to stand our ground. We've got to stand our ground and say, yes, yes, yes. The Word of God, I mean, if that scripture about earnestly contend for the faith, the truth, if it's ever applied to the modern day church, it applies today. Where we've got to say, no, I'm not going to water down the Word of God just to appease the liberals. No, I'm sorry, I've got to preach the Word. And if that lands me in prison, then it'll land me in prison. But I've got to preach the Word of God. Stand up. Don't be rude. We don't have to be hateful. But we need to say, hey, no, the Word of God is true. And the Word of God is true, and it will see us through. No, we're going to pray. We're going to pray in Jesus' name. No, we're going to keep on believing. Yeah, everybody else might say, no, it doesn't take holiness anymore, but we're going to keep preaching and teaching holiness. Everyone else might say, oh, I don't believe in miracles anymore. Don't preach that stuff. And we're going to keep on. No, the Word of God says, if we pray, it's going to happen. If we pray, He'll heal bodies. Hang on to that. We cannot let go of this. And we must walk in victory. We must. There's no alternative other than dying. We've got to walk in the victory. Amen. So rise up. You're a giant killer. And many of you have already killed giants in your life. You've left Goliaths in your wake that would cause many people to run off in fear. And so if God did it for you then, why won't God do it for you today? He will. And He is. So hold fast. Keep praying. Keep believing. Now, I don't know what's going to happen as far as our ability to meet in person. Between now and next week, I pray, I hope we're able to be here next week in person. If not, we'll at least have some music. We're going to have our singers here. We're going to have praise and worship for you live, and we'll preach live. So answer your phones. Church, if you're not taking the phone calls from the church, you may not know what's going on right now. So answer your phone calls. Watch us on Facebook and watch for our announcements. Right now, we're planning on trying to be here next Sunday at our regular service times. I'll put a call out and let you know what's going on. But let's pray. Let's pray for our world, pray for our nation, pray for the church, pray for one another, check in on each other, and make sure everybody's okay. Encourage one another. Amen. We need that more than ever before. We love you. We thank you for joining us today for our live stream. Let me pray for you one more time. Lord, I thank you for your word that has come across this pulpit today. I pray that you'll bless each heart, encourage each spirit. Give us strength, Lord. Lord, I pray, God, for new faith to come alive in the hearts of your people. And Lord, that we will walk and fulfill your mission of winning lost souls. Even in a world that is against us, we pray that you're going to give us the victory. We stand in that victory. Make us giant killers. The devil comes against us, but we have power, and there is no enemy that can bring us down. And greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And we thank you for that. Thank you for watching today. God bless you all, and we'll see you next time.